We've all now come away from the Feast of Tabernacles, and I suspect that most, if not all of us, have actually arrived at our homes. And as a result of keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, many people will look at us and say that we keep the Jewish festivals because we keep the seventh day Sabbath and the days that they associate with Judaism. They see that we rarely go out on Sundays, to church that is, and we avoid Easter, Christmas, Halloween, and Mothering Sunday. We are perceived as being eccentric by many, religious zealots by some, and we are grouped together en masse by still more who refer to us as right-wing evangelical Christians. This last category of classification is rather important. Evangelical Christians are characterized as Christians whose highest authority is the Bible and who hold to the historic Christian creeds. Now, today, in the time that is available to me, I intend to demonstrate that the days that we keep are not Jewish days, but they are biblical, because we may be called upon, maybe sooner than we think, to give an answer. So, first of all, I'd like to ask a question. Do the Jews keep all holy days of Scripture? Now, bearing in mind that 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed, it stands to reason that if specific days are defined by God as being holy, then we ought to respect God's definition of holy days. I'd like you to turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23 and beginning in verse 1. And there will be very few listening to me today who do not recognize that this particular chapter defines which days are God's holy days. And for those who claim that these words are just part of some ancient writing by a man named Moses, perhaps they should be made aware of the fact that God told Moses in various places to write these words and in various places to speak these things to the children of Israel. Now, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 and 2 reads as follows. And the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Eternal, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. And here I would like to emphasize and to point out that these words say, These are the feasts of the Eternal. And then I'd like to drop down to verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Now, we're talking about the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread here. And if we drop down then to verse 21, we see something else. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. So it isn't just a feast that was to be kept by the Jews for a certain length of time. Is to be kept by all people, all time, throughout all their generations. And that is the 50th day after the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. Now, we counted 50 days after the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. And very often that particular day falls on what is known as Whit Sunday in Britain. And indeed, for many, many years, the British had a bank holiday, which is the Whitsun bank holiday, which fell in May or early June. And as I say, very, very often, Pentecost and Whit Sunday fell on the selfsame day, both days being the Sunday on which we meet together. Now, we no longer celebrate Whitsun in Britain because I think it was in the 1960s, maybe the 1970s, the government actually changed the day on which the bank holiday was from Whitsun through to the spring bank holiday, which is now the last Monday in May. So Although we used to keep it as a nation, we no longer do so now. Now, in the booklet, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which Mr. Armstrong brings out an interesting point about the Jewish observance of this particular day or that particular day. And he says that from the middle of the first century, the Pharisees gained complete control of Jewish religious observance. And from then on, they fixed the day for the Feast of First Fruits. And from memory, I believe that they fixed it as the sixth day of the third month. Now, that particular day can fall on any day of the week, not necessarily the first day of the week, and not necessarily on the 50th day after the Sabbath during unleavened bread. So here we see a major divergence between ourselves and the Jews. Additionally, the Jews celebrate two other festivals which do not appear in Leviticus 23, but you can find reference to the other two festivals in the scripture, and I'm referring here to Hanukkah and to Purim. Now, Hanukkah is a feast which the Jews celebrate, commemorating the dedication of the temple. And Purim, I believe I'm correct in saying this, is the deliverance of the Jews from the plotting by Haman during the time of Queen Esther. And they are purely Jewish festivals, and they are not obligatory upon practicing Christians. Now, to ask if the world out there keeps the biblical holy days may appear to be somewhat facetious. Of all the days that the present Western calendar observes as holy days that are found in the Bible, only Easter is mentioned in the Bible, and that is in the book of Acts, chapter 12 and verse 4. And we will turn there, and I'd like to point out one particular failing of this particular verse. That is because most Bible concordances and dictionaries will confirm that the Greek word here that is translated as Easter is in fact the Greek word Pascha, which is the Greek word for Passover. And if we read, another thing which is interesting, the Welsh word which they use for Easter is Pasg, P-A-S-G, and the Chilean name for East Island is Isla de Pascua. And both Pasg and Pascua sound very much like the Greek word for Passover. Now, we'll turn to Acts chapter 12 and read verse 4. And it is talking about the time that the Apostle Peter was imprisoned by Herod. And we read, "And when he had apprehended him," that is, Herod apprehended Peter, "he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrillions, quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Now, it should actually read, "intending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people." Now, certainly we can find no traces of any other so-called Christian holy day in Scripture. The record of the birth of our Saviour is often cited as proof of the winter festivities being Christian. But when one looks at all the trimmings and all the heathen roots of those trimmings, it becomes only too obvious that Christmas is in fact not a Christian festival, but it is in fact purely pagan. And additionally, it is stated that shepherds were in the fields keeping watch over their sheep, and that indicates also, from the Bible, that the season was not winter time. As a result, true Christians avoid these days. The result is that we're left with neither what are commonly described as Jewish holy days, nor with what are generally accepted as traditional Christian holidays. And so we fall into the category of people who are sometimes referred to as evangelical Christians. Now, this is simply because we only accept the Holy Bible as the authoritative word by which we conduct our lives. That description could cause some problems in view of comments made by Mr. David Blunkett. When he was Home Secretary, he stated on the 7th of July 2004, before the Institute of Public Policy Research, and this report was by the Christian Institute, And I quote, "We need to be able to take on those extremists and say, I am afraid in our society, pluralism and openness, the ability to accept differences without being subsumed, is crucial to our survival. It's what distinguishes us from every faith, from those who would take our lives because they reject our faith. It applies equally from far-right evangelical Christians to extremists in the Islamic faith." Now, this statement, taken together with the British government bill to criminalise incitement to religious hatred, and it may become an offence to criticise the Jewish custom of following the Pharisees who changed the observance of the Feast of Weeks from the 50th day after the Sabbath in the days of unleavened bread to the 6th day of the 3rd month. Now, in closing, I'd like to turn, please, to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 46. "At this time, there is only one group that conscientiously keeps God's holy days. That group comprises those whom God has called. Generally speaking, Judaism as a whole does not keep all of the biblically commanded holy days. That which is generally perceived as Christianity most certainly does not, but holds to pagan holy days instead. God's people, wherever we are, will be faithfully keeping those days: the Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and the 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacles. And it is said here that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing, that is, doing and living by the words that God has commanded throughout the whole of Scripture."